I don't know what this world is coming to. You see that man over there? We arrested him for mopery.
What's mopery?
Mopery is exposing yourself to a blind person.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, or good morning, good evening, wherever you are listening to this. This is the Air Raid Podcast. Welcome. Thank you so much for downloading the show.
Philip K. Dick.
We are exposing ourselves to you, the listener of the Air Raid Podcast.
I'm not joking around here.
On this episode 40.
Woo!
Of the show that drops bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Thank you once again for joining
Hail
us.
Hail to the king, baby.
I don't even know what that initial drop is from. I don't know. I have no idea, but it's hilarious.
I don't know anything.
I had a great night last night. Went out to see this band Yarn Owl play with our friends Legendary Oaks. And this other band, the Brambles, down at the Columbia City Theater in South Seattle, and it was awesome. And we have a great kind of sit down interview session with Yarn Owl that's going to be coming up at the second half of the show. We're going to be featuring all music from their album. I think it's called Montagna. Let me check. Montagna y Caballo. I don't speak very good Spanish, if you haven't figured that out yet.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
Oh, boy. And I totally forgot. I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
Nobody beats me in the kitchen.
And you got that right. Nobody beats me in the kitchen because I will eat any of you fools under the table. And by fools, I mean friends. And by friends, I mean people who may or may not listen to this show. Whatevs, yo. Well, we got a lot to talk about today. A lot on my mind. I'll tell you one thing. Life has been a little bit crazy for me this week. I don't know how your week has been, but mine has been balls to the wall, insane. And I'm not going to go into all the juicy details, but it involves Maraid's pregnancy. Things are not going as planned, and have resulted in some very quick thinking and some major changes. So if I miss a couple episodes here and there coming in May, because now instead of June, our baby, little Tatum Olivia Roden, will be expected in early May. And so it's kind of turned our world on its head now. We had the parents over yesterday. We're getting everything prepared, finishing the baby room, or nursery, if you will, and getting things kind of set in motion. Because you know, my life is changing, hopefully for the better. So if we have, you know, I've got a bunch of shows lined up for the rest of this month, maybe some will run into next month, but we may be missing a couple weeks. So what you can do, and what you can always do if you want a little bit more Air Raid in your life, you want some bombs of awesome in your ear holes, you can go to our website, air-raid.net, and stream all of our episodes from the web. You can get all of it, 40 through number one. You can go back all the way back to the beginning, which I wouldn't really suggest because they're not that great. The people that I had on were great, but I was not that great at talking. You can go and check that out. Also, I think all of our episodes are still available on iTunes as well. So you can check all that out. And that's if we miss some stuff. We do want to give a quick thanks to everybody that has reviewed our podcast, our little podcast on iTunes. Thank you so much for the great reviews, everybody. It's been a real treat, you know, just finding out that people are listening and people enjoy it. So thank you very much. We really appreciate that. And thank you for the emails. I actually heard from Matt from Michigan recently, which was great because I hadn't heard from him. I don't know if you haven't been listening to the show for very long. We got a couple emails from this guy, Matt, that lives over in Michigan, and I don't know where in Michigan. He just calls himself Matt in Michigan. You know, he was a light at the end of the tunnel when we first started that show, or this show, because he would crack jokes about why aren't we up on iTunes yet, because that is a topic of discussion in, like, the first, you know, 25 episodes, because it took a really long time to get up on that. And he just emailed me the other day and just wanted to let me know that he was still listening and he's really enjoying the show. And thank you so much, Matt. He also asked if we have t-shirts, and we don't. We don't have any merch as of right now. Although we do have one mug, because Maraid was nice enough to make me this airraid.net mug for Christmas, which was excellent. And I use it all the time now for my coffee, for my caffeine. So let's get down to it, shall we? Let's get down to brass tacks. The first thing that I wanted to talk about today, and I don't know if you guys have noticed it much, but you know, for most people, I would say for most people in America, everybody knows that the economy is bad. Everybody knows that we're in a recession. But does everybody see it from day to day? I don't think so. I definitely don't. I see it in my job, in my day job. I do. Things are, you know, very slow in the field that I work in. You know, so I see that every day. But it hasn't really hit me personally, the slow economy, which is good for me. It's not great for everybody else because I know that there are a lot of people out there that are really struggling right now. And my heart goes out to you if you're listening to this show. If you're one of those people that are struggling right now, my heart goes out to you. But I haven't personally been super affected by the down economy. And I know that a lot of other people haven't as well because, you know, there's still a lot of people that are out and about and just having a great time. The economy is not heavy on their minds. But I have noticed in recent days, I have put two and two together and noticed that there is one major, huge effect that you can see all around you, especially in the Seattle area, of the down economy, a major effect of the recession on our society here. And that is, would you like a drum roll? Should we get a drum roll for this? Maybe we should. Let's do this. The one major effect that I have been noticing: public urination.
Yuck.
Public urination has skyrocketed. I swear to God, it's amazing. I mean, I'm seeing people in daylight, like, you know, it's spring now. The sun is up for longer. We've been having some nice days here in Seattle. And I am seeing people peeing in public in daylight. You know, normally at night, it's a Saturday, maybe a Friday night. It's late. You see the occasional guy pissing in an alley or in the shadows on the sidewalk, you know. But the other day, I was noticing, and even in the area that I work, in the city where I work, a lot of the public restrooms have been closed down because maintenance costs have been cut. And especially in Seattle, that has happened a lot around Seattle. At the transit center, the North Seattle Transit Center, they have closed the bathrooms there. And I swear to God, I am not lying. in the past week, I think I've seen like four people pissing in the parking lot. Like with minimal cover. Like, so I'm on the bus the other day, I think it was Thursday, and there's this guy, I get on, there's this businessman who, you know, right as I walk past him, I smell this, like, this liquor smell, you know? I mean, the guy is just, he has mixed some alcohol with his coffee, with his Starbucks, and he is, you know, he looks a little bit drunk. And, you know, it was kind of funny because he was like this, you know, he was very formally dressed, you know, business person, suitcase and everything, trench coat. He even had a trench coat, people. That's how you know he's a serious businessman. And then when he got off the bus at the transit center, I got in my car and I'm driving through the parking lot to get to the exit. And I see him posted up against the bike lockers, you know, bright, sunny day. He's got a cigarette dangling from his mouth, and he is pissing behind these bike lockers, just so, like right out in the open. And so that's one example. This is happening all over the place, people, happening all over Seattle. We were out one night, I think it was a couple months ago. May even been for New Year's Eve. So, you know, the economy was a little bit worse back then. It's getting better, apparently. Or so we've been told. But there was this guy that was just standing, like, on the edge of the sidewalk, out in the open. Yeah, I think he might have thought that he was under the cover of shadow. But he was, I mean, it was plain as day, man. This guy had his wang out, his bits, and just like for everybody to see, and it was nothing special, you know. He wasn't gigantic, I would say, but he was peeing like directly onto the sidewalk. He was standing a little bit off of the sidewalk in the kind of the planter area where these trees were, and peeing onto the sidewalk where people were walking. I mean, this was like a, you know, a pretty you know, traveled route on. In downtown Seattle, and he was just pissing right on the sidewalk. And I mean, the guy was not, you know, he didn't have the, like, the homeless look about him. He didn't have the crazy look. He was just a normal dude with, you know, who had to go. And there was no bathrooms open. So there you go. You know, I kind of wish that I had the, I'm doing air quotes, cojones, to pull something off like that, because I've definitely been in that situation before. There was one night in particular where I was driving home. It was very late, and I could not. I mean, I had to go super bad, and like I must have been maybe four blocks away from my house. And I mean, this was a couple years ago, so. I don't know, I was probably like 26, 27, so more than a couple years ago, and it was when I kind of first moved here to Seattle, and I'm driving so fast through these back streets, you know, and trying to get home because I had to go so bad, and I haven't been in that situation since, and possibly before, for many, many years, like, you know, when you get to adulthood, you know when you should go to the bathroom, right? And kind of relieve yourself because you know you can look into the future and see what's going to happen or see what could happen if you don't go to the bathroom at a certain point. Apparently, I had a lapse in my fortune-telling or what would you call it, ESP, something like that. Yeah, lapse in judgment, let's just say that, lapse in better judgment, and did not relieve myself at the function that I was attending, and on my drive home, it hit me like a bag of bricks, and I'll just tell you right now, and you know, don't tell anybody about this, this is just between you and I, listener out there, or listeners, I guess, I didn't make it.
Jeez, I gotta take a leak so bad I can taste it.
And I was ashamed even though I lived alone at that point. Or maybe Mairead was on vacation somewhere. I don't know. But, yeah, I didn't make it. I went in my pants. I can't believe I just told you all that.
Stay thirsty, my friend.
I feel privileged. I don't know. Well, hey, let's go to our first musical break. Isn't this a great part in the show to go to our first musical break? God, I've noticed that a lot lately, too. Like, I have been getting more and more comfortable on this microphone and been sharing these very personal stories, talking about gross things. So I hope you all still enjoy it. I don't know if you do. This is basically for me. This is like my personal therapy session, getting on the microphone and talking with you. But yeah, I have noticed that. Oh, and another thing that I noticed that I wanted to apologize for is that in our last episode, episode 39 with the stack of dimes, I listened back to that and, you know, having those guys on was a real treat. I had a great time with JD and Thunder of the Stack of Dimes, which you guys, if you haven't heard that episode yet, you really should listen to it because those guys are really awesome. And they had a lot of great things to say about, you know, straight-to-video movies and Safeway food. We had a great conversation about the Safeway deli food. But one thing I notice is that when I'm really comfortable with somebody, like, I revert to talking like I always talk, and I say the F word a lot. And, like, you know, it's been like, part of my vernacular for so long that, you know, I don't really notice it. And I say the F word a lot. Man, I got to stop that. I'm going to have a kid in May. I'm going to have a little daughter in May. I'm going crazy. This is nuts. Let's go to our first musical break, shall we? This is Yarn Owl. The song is called Seashell Wind Chime. And when we get back, when we come back, I want to talk with you guys about a little something that I want to be brought back into the fold of American culture. It needs to be brought back. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what it is when we get back. This is Seashell Wind Chime off of the album Montaña y Caballo. Is that it? God, Spanish sucks. Yarn Owl. Check these guys out. We'll be back with you. Just a second. I think they're going to be making the move out to Seattle here pretty soon. We talk about that a little bit later. And, oh, that was abrupt. I thought it was going to go on for a little bit longer. That it's a really good song. And these guys were so good live. I would really recommend you guys go and see them. They are coming to they're coming back to Seattle on March 31st and playing at the Sunset Tavern in Ballard. And I would really recommend that you guys come and see that show because it is great, man. It is a really, really solid show. They're a wonderful band. That's March 31st. That's a Thursday night here in the Seattle area. It's in the neighborhood of Ballard, Sunset Tavern. You guys should check that out. And we'll get to the interview at the end of the show here. But first, before we get to that, I would love to have a short discussion with all of you about something that I thought of the other day that I want to happen again in America. Because, you know, we can't keep on going through life putting up with asshats or putting up with people that deserve to be shut down. And when I say shut down, I mean, you know, because there's a lot of people that I notice out there that go through life getting away with being a bad person, being, you know, living their life like there's not another person on the planet, living their life like they're the only ones that are important, living their life like an asshat. Living their life like an asshat. Can I say it? Can I describe it any differently than that? How about this? Maybe this should be like our air raid headline. We haven't done an air raid headline for a while, and maybe we should do this. I think this is the same music that we used on the last episode. How do you like that new? The new headline news music here that we got. Yeah, how do you like that? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Some amazing stuff. It's called News Crisis. Crisis. This is a crisis. This is something we should all take note on, people, because it's something that I think I'm going to start taking very seriously. I want to bring back the gloved face slap, where you take the glove and slap somebody across the face, and then you challenge them to a duel. I think we need to bring that back. We need to bring it back. Yes, sir. This is something that is very serious. You know, because I would use this almost on a day-to-day basis, I think. I mean, like I was saying before, is like you could use the glove face slap and then challenge the person to a duel in kind of an everyday setting. I mean, like, I'll tell you, okay, so let me give you some examples of, like, people that I would use this on. The duel challenge. Let's just call it that. It's a duel challenge, right? So a couple people that I would use the duel challenge on. Number one would be the woman at my bus stop who feels it is her duty to just go and get right up at the front of the line, no matter how many people are standing there waiting for the bus. Now, I realize that I am no longer in the third grade, and I am no longer riding on a big yellow school bus for my transportation needs. And I kind of realize, you know, that lines or standing in line kind of feels dumb, feels stupid. But you know what? It's rude to go and cut in front of somebody that obviously feels differently about the line situation and has gotten there early so they are guaranteed whatever seat they want to sit in. Right? Isn't that true? I mean, you know, we're all human here. We're all human. Some people have different beliefs than others. But my point is that, you know, even though we have different belief systems, we still got to live on this planet together. And I think we should probably be nicer to each other. So in the case of the woman at my bus stop, I challenge you to a duel.
I challenge you to a duel.
Whatever.
Oh, and I'm not going to stop there, people. I got more people to challenge here. Way more people. And I know I just got done, like, saying that I just wanted us all to get along and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. There is one thing that I will not tolerate, and that is men's designer jeans. Oh, my God. I hate these things. When did we decide that it was a great idea to put, like, the little pocket flaps on men's jeans on the back pockets? Who decided that that looked good on dudes? What happened? I mean, there's guys now walking around with, like, they got these, you know, embroidered jeans. Sometimes there's patches on it. They are different colors. Like this morning we saw a man where one leg was totally just regular jeans, blue jeans, and then the other leg had like red spatter all over it. And it was not like the guy had just got done painting. This was, you know, like this was the design of the pants. What? Who came up with this crap? And when can we stop wearing this stuff? Especially the pocket thing, man. The pocket thing is really starting to get on my nerves. Like the really, you know, they got the flashy pockets now. They got like glitter on it and stuff like that. I mean, what in God's name is going on with men's designer jeans? So men's designer jeans wearers, I challenge you to a duel.
I challenge you to a duel.
Ooh. Ooh, cool. Whatever.
I really think this could start catching on, people. I think, you know, let's get rid of the court systems. Let's spend less on police officers. I mean, you know, back to the whole economy thing. If we just started challenging people to duels, maybe, you know, people would be a little bit nicer to each other and stop wearing, silly, silly, silly man jeans. Maybe we could do that. Hey, let's go to our second musical break. This is Stare Into the Night, or Stare Into Night, I'm sorry, by Yarn Owl. Sorry about that little noise there. That was the iPad that we were borrowing from Mairead's father. This thing is awesome. I think I might have to get one of these. They're pretty cool. I'm not really an Apple guy either, as many of you know, because we've talked about it in the past. These things are pretty rad. I have to say, they are pretty cool. So of course, this is, again, I'm going to try to pronounce this without butchering it. This is Yarn Owl off the album Montaña y Caballo, and its song is called Stare Into Night. And when we come back, we're going to have Yarn Owl on, and we're going to be talking about all sorts of different stuff. When I started recording, and I didn't want to edit any of this stuff out because I found it to be kind of funny and good stuff, fun to listen to. When I started recording, I don't think they knew that I was recording. Of course, later I told them that I was, and they were cool with me playing all this stuff. But we had some great conversations about Scottie Pippen, and about a couple of dreadlocked dudes in Portland that may or may not have been wearing designer jeans. I don't know. But if this whole duel thing was around a couple years ago, I would have challenged them to a duel because I probably could have won because they were very drunk. Anyway, but you know, it's kind of a lot of people trying to talk over each other. So once that gets through, you know, about five to 6 minutes in, we have a great conversation. But check it out; these guys were really, really great. This is Yarn Owl, Stare Into Night, and when we come back, we will have Yarn Owl the band talking to me in the green room at the Columbia City Theater. Enjoy, and we'll see you in a bit. Hey, but before we play this amazing song, we want to say a quick word for our friends down at Varellen Amplifiers. Varellen Amplifiers is a local Seattle guitar and bass amplifier manufacturer. It's all kind of small business, you know, boutique amplifiers for, namely, loud musicians. And now they make these really cool little, like, blues jazz amps that are great for the all-around sound. These are all tube amps and very, very loud if you want them to be, all custom-made, too. I mean, you can't get any better than that. You should go visit them, VarellenAmplifiers.com, on the World Wide Web, because they are absolutely amazing. And you know what? It's the only amp you'll ever need. Check them out, VarellenAmplifiers.com, or you can go visit them in the Fremont neighborhood.
Yeah. times in this episode. Nobody else got that joke.
I got it. I got
sometimes
it.
Sometimes you just have to say, shut the fuck up.
I just tried to say it in a nice way.
Just shut the fuck up.
I don't know. How many times did I say that on the ride?
I can't hear you. You're in the front seat. Well, that's what happens when you sit in the back. You don't listen to the people in the front.
What, we were trying to navigate the broken city?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
I knew how to get
What is the broken city?
Portland. That place Portland, is Oregon. Terrible.
it's a terrible driving city, right?
Yeah. Yes. Terrible driving city. Not a bad, it's a lovely city.
The highway will just split into, like, three different ways.
Yeah.
Right.
Without any notice.
You have to
make a decision. The city planners had no plan.
The worst part is leaving Portland, and when you're exiting out through the Rose Quarter, there's all these signs to I-5 this way, this way, this way, and then all of a sudden they stop putting signs that say I-5 this way, and then you're traveling in this direction.
And that's Ocean Beaches, and then you go, I don't know where...
I was driving a pickup truck for a job once in Portland, and I stopped at a stoplight, and there were these two, like, you know, dreadlocked dudes standing at the crosswalk, and one guy took one look at my truck, which was a rental... And he had vomit, like, down his shirt, and he just flips me off. He goes, fuck you, man! Fuck you! Because I was driving a truck, which wasn't mine.
Did it have Washington?
And it was actually, I was, like, doing an environmental study, too, so it was, yeah.
Did it have Washington plates?
It did have Washington plates.
That's why I didn't like Washington. They don't like tax-paying people. Yeah.
That's right. So I am sitting here with the band and the recording guy for Yarn Owl.
Engineer and...
engineer mixer. Extraordinaire, right?
Mixing and engineer.
Yeah.
So let's kind of do a round robin here and everybody introduce themselves. Let's start with the recording engineer. How about that?
Chris Early.
Chris Early.
Yeah.
Okay, I totally have it written down as Chris Turley. So, sorry.
Chris.
We'll change that. Yeah. We'll change that.
I'm Kurt Krause.
And what are you playing, Kurt?
I play guitar.
Skin Sing. Flute. All right.
Oh, God.
Guitar.
I don't know
where this one's going.
just joking.
My name's Ted Powers, and I play the drums.
All right.
I'm Javier Suarez, and I sing and play guitar.
Tim Monique, play bass.
I am Sean Knox, and I play the keys.
All right. So, hey, you guys just got done, or finished playing here at the Columbia City Theater, and it sounded amazing. And by the way, this whole Columbia City Theater thing is awesome. Have you guys played here before?
Never.
It's the first time.
I've played here three times, and every time has been amazing.
It's so great, and the sound is really good. And
they,
like,
they treat you like you're a touring band, even
yeah,
if you're
totally,
local.
Yeah, totally.
It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like we're sitting in this, like, pretty much like a recording studio,
yeah,
right? Like,
studio, yeah.
I didn't know that they did this here, which is awesome. And the green
Gary,
room.
The guy that records here, he's a good dude, too.
It,
for sure.
Dude, this place is rad.
Yeah.
Like, they got this whole upstairs thing where, like, green room is upstairs, this gigantic TV, which is.
There's strippers up there.
Yeah. Strippers giving hand jobs to all the band members, and there's nachos with vegan sausage in it.
Yeah.
There's fluffers before you go on stage, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
hey, we have a local celebrity in the room. It's Joseph Giant.
That doesn't sound very good.
He's trying to run the board. Yeah.
What are we doing wrong today?
Not sure.
Turn the shitty down.
Hey, so you guys, this is kind of the end of like a mini weekend tour for you, right?
Yeah, we just released a record on Thursday and then played Portland last night and Seattle today. So.
Yeah, yeah. So did you guys drive over here in the same van?
Yeah, we did a pretty amazing job of, we rented a minivan from Enterprise and basically got five people in the van and all of our equipment. And this is like a Dodge Caravan.
It was a marvel of modern engineering.
Yeah.
Yes, what
it's,
we did.
The best way of putting it is it's like the most complicated game of Tetris you've ever played.
That's why it's like 50 pounds of shit.
So it's like that Simpsons
like
episode where you're just
like
stacking
like
things
chess,
into the back.
You know?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Not fun.
Were any of you good at Tetris?
I play it constantly on my cell phone.
I enjoy it, but I'm not good at it.
not to brag or anything, you know, but I do play it from time to time. Yeah. So what kind of food have you guys been eating on this tour?
Oh, we had some great sushi last night.
Awesome.
Gaia. It's where Scottie Pippen eats in Portland.
Yeah, Scottie.
Because they have a picture that's signed by him.
Picture.
Scottie Pippen and Yarnell.
Yeah.
Eats a Gaia guy.
Yeah. We promote Gaia guy.
And Scottie Pippen is not Asian. He is not. It was kind of a confusion that went around. Ted thought he was Asian.
I thought he had some in him, man.
He could be half.
That's what I said. Hey, and everyone just turned out.
I totally agree with you.
Too, that doesn't
I'm not saying that. Hey, my girlfriend's half Japanese, all right?
You're racist.
Scottie Pippen's racist.
Yes. He's a basketball player, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
He used to play. He was like Michael Jordan's sidekick.
Yeah, dude.
He was Robin, dude.
Robin and Michael Jordan.
No, he's a golfer.
Chris, it's okay, dude. He doesn't. You don't have to know much about
sports. I knew he was a basketball player, okay. Right?
I'm glad. Yeah, you did.
Don't make fun of my sidekick, Mark. He's lit. That's what he was.
I'm not talking about that.
Did he ever have his own shoes?
No, see? He was a sidekick.
Why would I know who he is?
I actually had his jersey, though, when I was
I went to a Bulls game, and
he was still a badass on that team. He was still
drafted by the Sonics. I think they were like LA Gears or something.
Yeah, they're from Walmart.
No, dude.
Special.
Those were the BK Knights. Those are BK Knights.
Yeah, or the Shaq shoes. Remember those?
They're Mushroomers, man.
Pippen was on that team, on Chicago Bulls, when Chicago Bulls were beatable.
But then he played for Portland at the end of his career.
He played for the Blazers?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
So did Sean Kemp, actually.
Yeah, Sean Kemp did.
Who else was on that?
While he was smoking crack and beating up his girlfriend.
Bill Cartwright, and he ended up on the Sonics. Yeah. John Paxson was the point guard.
Here we go.
They had that guy from, he was from, like, Lithuania or whatever.
Dude, I was in the championship game in 96.
Yeah. All I want to know is what happened to Detlef Schrimp, all right? That's all I want.
Dude, he's still doing okay. He's still really tall. He's still very white.
Yeah.
And he has a foundation now.
You live in Seattle still?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's the other? They had another. B.J. Armstrong, I think he was the point guard.
Wallace used to play for the Blazers.
Yeah, he was the second
John
round,
Kerr.
Steve Kerr.
Okay. Three-pointer!
Steve!
But then B.J. Armstrong on the Bulls.
He was on the first set.
Dennis Rodman. John Kerr. His hair changed every, like, 5 days.
Wait a minute. You mean the star from Double Team?
No, Evening Magazine.
John Curley from Evening Magazine. I love that fucking guy.
Forget Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson.
Curley, that guy's a fucking robot.
You mean the up down, the upside down smiler,
John
right?
Curley. Evening Magazine?
No, John Curley's a fucking asshole.
Are you gonna quote him on that?
This is going online, dude. This is going online.
Can I quote you? Can I quote you on that one?
This is Fisher Productions. They're King 5 here.
Wait, what's Evening Magazine on King 5?
Yeah.
So, okay, it works out. Yeah,
it's all good. It's all good.
He still got that
pool. Yeah, Steve Pool.
He's a fucking man.
I love that fucking guy. That guy, he, they're always about Harry Wappler and, like, hey, Harry, what's it doing outside or whatever.
Steve Poole, actually, he used to, I don't know if he still does, but he used to drive around in a brown Porsche. And he drove up alongside my parents' Crown Victoria station wagon, which was a V8, by the way. Just want everybody to know that. It had balls. That thing towed a fucking boat. And he raced us on the 520 bridge one time.
You got to race Steve
Poole? Yeah, in a Crown Victoria wagon.
What the weather was going to be like?
My dad looked over and they nodded at each other and we fucking raced.
It was on.
And he won. Steve Poole won.
Oh, dude, obviously. He's kind of like Seattle's Chuck Norris. I would say Steve Poole is.
Wow.
There's not a whole list of sayings, though, for him yet. No, maybe you guys should start that.
I'm moving out of Seattle. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just make a sound effect bang for him.
Okay, so you guys just played, let's see, Portland last night, Thursday night, you played in Pullman. You guys are from Pullman, Washington, right? Based yes, yeah. out of Pullman.
Yeah, I went to WSU.
Bye, Joe.
See ya.
Thanks for coming out.
Joe.
Go see Joseph Giant.
Check him out. Check out his new record.
Yeah.
Joe, the man who turns down the shitty.
Yeah, you're awesome, man.
Check out his new record. What's your Bandcamp site?
Joe Giant?
Just Bandcamp Joseph Giant.
Nice.
Yep.
Check it out. New record.
JosephGiant.bandcamp.
All right. Perfect.
All right, dudes.
Take care.
All right.
Thanks for coming, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
So on these little mini tours that you guys go on, it says on your website that you guys have toured with Heliosequence in the past, right?
Well, played some shows. It wasn't a major like tour, but it was we played with them in, it was kind of like a Northwest thing. We played with them in Spokane, Pullman, and then we played with them in Salt Lake City and Boise. So it was a short run.
Right, right.
And then, so we got to play four shows with them. We got to play three shows with the Fruit Bats.
That's an excellent band.
Pullman and in Tri-Cities, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And you guys have been a band since what, 2007?
Yeah, that's
great.
Okay.
But Javier and I grew up together, like in Pullman, so we've been in bands.
Yeah, since
we played soccer
since we were
in 12. Elementary.
We had our first band.
Yeah, middle school.
Nice.
We go way back.
Yes, we do.
So what's that feel? I mean, when did you guys do like the tour with like Fruit Bats and Heliosequence?
Well, I don't. It wasn't really a tour. It was just like
a
set of shows.
Right, right, right.
A tour. When I think of a tour, it's like when you actually like get far away, yeah. where you're not like, 5 hours
days
in a row.
Right.
Hey, Tim, don't downplay it, man.
Yeah. Just call it a tour. Just call it a tour, bro.
I'm just gonna try to be
epic tour.
Let's call this a North America.
Yeah, we toured the North America continent with Bob Seger and
Speedwagon.
Robert Seger.
Geologically, you guys were still on the Pacific plate, or the North American plate. So you guys were, that's
casinos,
a huge, that's a big area, covering a large area there. So what does that feel like? I mean, so I imagine that you guys were playing like smaller venues, like when you before you were, went out to play a series of shows.
Yes.
Doing quotes, air quotes, with Heliosequence and Fruit Bats. What did it feel like for you to kind of get on the road with those bands?
That was, it's always a good time.
It was fun.
Traveling. I mean,
Salt Lake was awesome.
We just have a good time going out. I always enjoy traveling with these guys. So
yeah. Do you guys all get along really well? It seems like you do. Still. Do you foresee anything in the future happening?
Sean and Kurt are new, so this is like our first time on the road with them, so it's new.
Okay.
We're used to just being four on the road, so.
And the fourth.
It's not bad, it's just different.
So. And one of the guys that you said earlier is Tyler.
Armour. Yeah,
who's
in Australia.
He's in Australia.
Line.
Okay.
But he recorded the record with us, we did that in the barn.
Nice.
Oh.
Over in Pullman?
Yeah, outside of Moscow.
Moscow,
Idaho. We're just like 8 miles away from Idaho.
Yeah, Chris came down and was kind enough to set up all his equipment in this cold-ass barn and recorded for 2 days and freeze our ass off.
It was warm the first day.
It was nice. Warm-ish. Yeah, the first day was really nice, and then the second day was just like
30 degrees. It wasn't necessarily nice. It was warm.
It was acceptable. It was like we could play the guitar and the drum without like... having to go to the... There was a milk room that was really hot. And we would go to the milk room to warm up.
A milk room? Wait a minute. Were they still producing milk in there?
It's like an active farm. It's like a...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like an organic beef farm or something.
No shit. So what kind of sound... I mean...
That's why you hear the moos on the album.
No, there's a cat. No, there might be cat noises, though. There was this barn cat that would not stop yelling. It was like a yelling cat.
Was it pregnant?
Like
was it giving birth?
No,
it wasn't just pregnant.
What the fuck was it yelling for?
It was just needy, you know?
You know how some cats just have a, you know, they just
want some attention.
I think it was making noise probably in a track five, and then Javier gave it a really good kick, and I don't think he hit it for the rest of the album.
He looks like the type of guy that would beat animals.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Oh,
you got a good cat story, though.
Well, oh, tell us your cat story, Javier.
That is my cat story. 24 hours of mayhem. Remember that? Where did the amazing stunts?
I was going on vacation once, and I was just in my house with, and I had my duty was to I had to get the cat into a cage so I could bring it to the vet because they were gonna watch it for the duration of the trip. And I spent like a day trying to hunt this cat down, not hunt,
wrangle
into its little carrier case thing, and I guess it ended with like this pretty epic dive. Tim saw it,
yeah.
Like across my there's like these stairs in my house, and I just a dive, and I like caught it in my hands, and it was
kind of like a wide receiver catching a football.
Yeah, it was
like an epic play.
Oh, Jeff Cinco.
Yeah. And I ended up, you know, just scratches all over my hands and cat urine. And it was,
whoa, it pissed on you.
Yeah.
Once he grabbed the cat, though, the cat knew that it was over.
Ever since it's like ever since then, that cat has been like super chill.
Yeah.
It just lays. It doesn't care about anybody.
Yeah,
it's just like, it gave up after
that. Yeah, it gave up.
Well, right. It knew who its master was.
Yeah.
It knew who its master was.
Yeah.
Javier, cat master.
Yes.
You know the
cat wrangler. The
dog whisperer.
Hey, cat wrangler.
He's the cat whisperer.
Yeah.
Javier.
So what's it like for you? Because how would you, first of all, how would you guys describe the music that you play?
Kind of jangly, folk, pop, rock, something like that.
Kind of a mixture of like Grand Archives and My Morning Jacket.
Sure.
I've never heard that comparison, actually.
Really?
That's I've never heard My Morning Jacket or Grand Archives.
What do you think of my comparison? Is it a good one?
It's acceptable. I mean, those are really good bands. I mean, obviously, like My Morning Jacket.
Because I can cut all this out.
Redo
this.
No,
we can edit this down.
We
have to present our theory.
I think there's only five.
We have to present what's good. Okay, we got to present the theory, though.
Can you throw a couple verbs in there, too, please?
We got to present the theory on how people, come up with that, though.
No, that's why I was trying to get that.
Because it's like, what bands do you listen to? Because I think everyone compares bands to what they listen to, and mold, so on their iPod, they're like, oh, I listen to these 10 bands, and, probably those 10 bands get mashed into different combinations.
It becomes part of, Pandora's genome project, where everybody's categorizing you.
We could sound like some band in, Minnesota that no one's ever heard of, but...
Right.
I think it's like... There's so many moments in our music where, maybe, some band, shines through for, a couple seconds.
I didn't mean it to sound that way either. I'm just trying to
The reason I said that is just because I've never heard that comparison before.
Right.
I mean, you know, Chris and I were in a band that was compared all the time to My Morning Jacket, and rightfully so.
Which band was this? You can say it.
I'm not gonna say it.
Starts with a B and ends with an S.
There might be three words in the name.
Yeah.
One of them is
of. How about you just say it's an acronym and it's BS. And
yeah.
A bunch of bullshit, right?
Right.
It should be a math. Fill in the blank.
No. Yeah.
Well, I'm friends with Marcus and Alex Lilario, so we've heard the stories.
Really?
Yeah.
What stories have you heard about us?
I'm not going to say anything.
Really? What do they say about us? I'm curious, really.
Well, they called you an asshole and you a prick, so I don't know.
Yeah, Wikipedia was basically calling us a bunch of assholes for a while, so...
Yeah. No, I'm just joking.
What did they say about me?
Yeah.
What did they say about me?
Well, I think they had you mixed up with Javier, and they called you the cat wrangler.
Oh,
so, yeah.
The cat wrangler. But anyway, so I know. I mean, I think the one we get, we always get, like, and I don't know if it's deservingly so, but it seems like the one comparison that we always seem to get is this Fleet Foxes kind of thing.
Well, there's definitely a lot of bands out there that do, like, a lot of vocal harmonies and stuff, like...
Yeah, and any time somebody puts reverb on vocals, it's like, oh, yeah,
it sounds like the Beach Boys. Yeah, that's, I mean, like, that's what's happening. Yeah, everyone 2 years ago was like, right. Fleet Foxes sounds like Beach Boys. I'm like, no, they don't.
No.
Yeah.
But we are definitely... I mean, we're nowhere near as, like, folky and...
Yeah, we're more like a plugged-in version, I guess. Like, Portland Mercury just wrote a little blurb and, like... That's kind of what they said in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Plugged in version. But, I mean, it's like, I don't know.
We are who we are.
That's
just
good.
Just listen to the record.
That's like, fucking, that's
like,
gold
don't
right
listen
there,
listen to this. Listen to the record if you want to know what it sounds like.
Don't listen to this. If you're listening, stop listening.
No, do not do that. Do not do that. We need your support. God damn it. Don't listen to him. So
I was just joking.
That was a terrible joke.
I don't listen to the band anymore. The band's pretty cramped as it is. I mean,
Kurt, you're fired for
that. Okay. I am out of beer.
So what's it? Because a band like you guys, it doesn't pop out at me that a band like yours would be coming out of a place like Pullman. Do you guys play a lot in Pullman? Like, are you pretty popular over there? Or is it hard to get a show?
No, there's actually, like... Okay, I've lived in Pullman my whole life, and there really wasn't a scene until a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
This guy, Larson Hicks, he runs Stereopathic Music. Pretty much, he just started booking bands kind of when we started. It was just, like, all his things lined just up at the right time, and, like, he put on this big festival last year called Birds on Wire, and he's just been bringing in all these bands, and really, he's, like, major catalyst as to why... Probably we are still doing what we're doing in Pullman, and Buffalo Death Beam, why they're doing what they're doing, and I mean, before then there was really not much of a scene, so that's the biggest.
We had some friends out tonight who used to work with us at the local college radio station, which is where most of us met.
Yeah, we all met
KZUU, which is a university station.
Is it? Did you guys all work there or something? Or?
Yeah, we were all just. It's a volunteer station for students and
right.
Yeah, we were.
So
all
we just
DJs
yeah
there,
so. We met at like you know we they had like parties and that kind of thing. So we just met. I mean, really, me and Javier started the band basically into this English class.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of like I hadn't played music for a long time. And I had met Tyler, and he wanted to play music, and so I was like, oh, let's get some people together, and I knew Javier was, you know, playing music with Ted, so we just kind of talked in English class about it.
Nice. Really. Spoke about your feelings. And
yeah, you poetry. Know, we talked about, you know.
Poetry, a lot of poetry going on.
That kind of thing,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Nice. Well, it seems like it turned out pretty well. I mean, you guys, was it like an immediate, like, good fit when you started playing with each other? Or... That sounds terrible.
I mean, it took us quite a while, like, you know, like, hammer out, like, songs and, like, structure the noise we were creating.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, the music changed a lot. Like, in the last year, in 2010, really, it made, like, I think it made, like, a pretty much, like, a drastic change.
No, you guys have always just continued to evolve, which
yeah.
Our sound matured a lot
actually,
in the last year.
Because Chris recorded like the first Stay Warm EP that we didn't really make a ton of copies of, which people, if they want to check it out, they can get it on that Bandcamp. But
Freezel.
So he's really you know knows like our evolution, and it really wasn't until this fall, the fall of 2010, that we really you know started getting a little more. Rocking, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
We were pretty poppy before.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we had, like our sound evolved in the sense of like we all feel more comfortable with each other and like we just started writing songs in a different light than before. Like it was like things just fell into place a lot quicker. I don't know. It was like, I don't know. the record just like fell into place really quickly. It seemed like the songs for the album just came a lot easier.
And this is the latest album that you're talking about.
And it sounds like way more mature than our prior stuff as far as like,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, none of us are like expert musicians, so it's like.
Well, I think that makes the best band, though. Like,
we kind of like know what our strengths and weaknesses are, and this new record is more playing up on those things. You know, it's like
yeah,
to create something that's like shows who we are.
Sounds super
cheesy, but
no, not at all, man. Is it still like back to the whole like playing in Pullman thing? Because when we first met upstairs. Like, you guys were talking about how you kind of want to make the move over to Seattle. Like, is Pullman kind of a hard place to have a band, like a functioning band?
I think the thing is, you can only go so far, man. I mean,
right.
Because it's a lot of traveling to get to real cities, you know?
Traveling, you know?
I mean, you can, and Spokane's pretty much the same. I mean, it's like, you know, if you want to get noticed by radio and press and labels or whatever, I mean, you know, it may sound stupid, but it's like you kind of got to go where that stuff is,
right?
And if you're, I mean, especially for us when we were in school too, we couldn't really get, you know, the only time we could ever come up here was on the weekend.
Yeah.
And so, you know, because we had class during the week, and you know, when you're a new band starting out, you can't play on Thursday night, or that's when they want you to play. You can't play on Friday and Saturday.
It's hard to get in. Like, the foot in the door is the hardest part. So.
Right. So. And that's what I found when I was playing around Seattle, too. It was like, you play, like, when you're first starting out, you got, like, the 1 a.m. slot on a Tuesday at the Comet.
Yeah, it's, like, you know? Sunday through Thursday are the nights you have to play when you're just starting out.
Right,
I mean,
right.
And the weekends are saved for the national acts and the bigger local bands. So.
Right, right.
You know,
was it been
at the quote-unquote headliner spot at the Comet?
Yeah,
actually, just like the shit.
The
spot.
Shit spot. Like, no, yeah, that nobody wants to play. Yeah, totally. So, have you found it as you guys are evolving and the new album is out kind of now, which maybe we'll get to here in a second. What the problems have been with that, but like, hey, he said it.
Yeah,
it's just ironic. There's just a lot of irony in it.
Yeah, but have you found like that since you've evolved and stuff, has it been easier for you guys to get a show?
I think since we've put those songs on the internet and kind of been contacting people, I think it's been a little easier lately. But really, Ted has he gets all the credit for most of these shows because he honestly. Ted has been the one that has gotten us most of the shows that we've played over the years.
You're the booking guy, and you're the one that we've been in contact for this.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Pretty much like the booking manager, but I don't get that title. So
does it stress you out to no end? Because because booking like acts for this show, and getting everything prepared and stuff. Because we like book people out like months in advance. Like, does it stress the fuck out of you? Because it stresses the fuck out of me. I don't know if you noticed
that. No, it doesn't really... It's kind of...
So I was, like, emailing you every day. So are we still on?
I don't know. It's kind of like... It's, like, my break from my job is, like...
Yeah.
Is doing band stuff. Like...
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
You enjoy it.
I like communicating with people, and it's, like, it's fun, and it's, like, exciting. It's, like, you know, these, like, trips we do, it's like a subsidized vacation to go play music on the weekends and go, like, it's like what we like to do, you know?
Yeah.
We're not in this to, like, make a ton of money. I mean, if you're in music to make a bunch of money, you're not in it for the right reasons.
Right.
So, like, we're doing this because we like to do it, you know? Like, it's just like, if you want to make money, don't go into music. So, I mean, it's like, it's just a labor of love, you know? It's just what we like to do. And,
so would you guys still consider it like just a hobby, or I mean, this seems
more serious than a hobby. I mean, of course, all of us would love for this to be our job, but
yeah.
I mean, it's like a reality check at the same
time.
Yeah,
it's like winning the lottery. I mean, to be able to do it for real.
Yeah.
So it's,
So do you guys? I think I asked this before, but do you guys all get along really well when you're traveling around in a small van together?
Well, I mean, we
all just fall asleep and ignore each other. I don't know.
Try not to talk to each other until you get into a bigger room.
Sleeping pills before we get into the van, except for Tim, because he's driving.
Whoever's driving, we need the Red Bull, right?
Yeah, I live on Red Bull.
Right.
Can I get a sponsorship?
You might be able to. You never know.
I don't think I'd
You never know. It's a strange world. So what's the deal with this album that we kind of hit on a little bit?
All right, yeah. Here's pretty much the story. Like the place that we went with, they had really good reviews, and they seem like, I mean, I've talked to the guy that owns the place, and he seems like pretty nice, but like he's just, his business basically was kind of like, he had a bunch of people like quit and some people out, and they had a bunch of orders like back up. And so basically he's getting out of the CD duplication services and just sticking with printing or something like that. So basically it kind of, backstopped everybody.
We're like their last order that they're doing.
Yeah, so. Or actually we're not. He still has a bunch more. And I just talked to the guy on the phone and he was able to, you know, he pushed ours forward, but he didn't push it, but it wasn't quick enough to get it ready for this week. So it's a crappy situation, and the guy has been kind of, you know, flaky at times, but at sometimes he's been really nice, and we'll see if we hopefully we're supposed to get these things. He's gonna overnight them to us on Tuesday, so yeah. I'm not gonna, you know, talk
just say thank
completely
you.
Badly about him until they don't show up.
Thank you for the internet, because like if it wasn't for Bandcamp, we wouldn't be able to like give people music at all. So
right.
Bandcamp has like saved our butts big time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, that's
an amazing.
That's kind of shitty. That
it,
that
I mean,
is happening.
It's a bad situation.
It might not have been
the best place to get for us to go with, but we made that decision, and it's what happened. We just have to like live with what we can, because I could badmouth this guy like all day long, and it's not gonna do anything.
Yeah.
Why do that shit? I mean, people who are petty like that fucking should just fucking go somewhere else.
We've moved past it.
It's
really frustrating to have a CD release show without CDs. But
I know people like that.
Yeah,
we know
yeah.
those people.
Wait, where was it? When did you guys do the CD release?
It was on Thursday.
Thursday. Oh, okay.
So we just did pre-orders and gave people downloads.
Yeah,
I'll hand deliver all the CDs to people stuff. So it all works out.
Well, all right. Well, I gotta say, I mean, hearing you guys on the web and hearing, you know, what's available now on like Bandcamp and stuff like that, I was super impressed. And then hearing you guys live, I was even more impressed. I mean, it just sounds awesome. You guys are super tight, and it was great. It was absolutely great. So check these guys out, Yarn Owl, and let's plug your wares here. Where can we find you guys on the web?
YarnOwlMusic.com and then YarnOwl.bandcamp.com, and you can download our new record for $5, and I think we'll have merch and some shirts and hoodies up there too. And then our old we released a cassette with Leftist Nautical Antiques called Tiny Dots, so you can download that for free on Bandcamp, and our unreleased EP Stay Warm for free as well. So at the very least, you can download some stuff for free and check out our new record.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time out to talk to me. I know you're probably tired. You probably wish you were a little bit more drunk. But, you know,
the night is still
that's the way the world works, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you guys so much for talking with me. Chris, you're pretty cool. You're a cool guy.
Now.
Yeah, just
this silent guy, like, can you hear the wave?
Now we are all waving.
The waving of the wind.
Everybody wave goodbye. All right, thanks, guys.
Coming to close, but when this ride is coming to close.
Well, there you have it, everybody. Yarn Owl. I had a great time with them. Bunch of really, really nice folks. Those guys were really cool, and I would urge all of you to go out and check these guys out on Thursday, March 31st. They're going to be playing at Sunset Tavern here in Ballard.
Seattle. Check them out. Sorry for the background noise. It was actually a really cool band called The Brambles that was playing while we were conducting the interview and talking with Yarn Owl, and they are a great band too, and we're going to get them on sometime soon also. But yeah, we were recording that interview in the green room, and there were people coming in and out, so that was the noises in the background and the doors opening and closing. In closing for this episode, thank you so much. We really appreciate iTunes reviews and star ratings. Just takes you a couple seconds just to give us a quick click. And be honest. You know, tell us whether you like or you dislike the show. We want to know the truth. We want to know what we can improve. You can email me, Aaron, at air-raid.net. Find us on iTunes, Zoom Marketplace, Stitcher, which is a great app for your smartphone. Kind of like a Pandora radio. And, of course, at air-raid.net or air-raid.net, depending on what your major was in school. Anyway, we got the barbecue episode coming up next week with the drummer from Legendary Oaks. And we'll see you guys then. Have a great week.